Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart in the hot seat this week, replacing James Stevens, having a well-earned break just ahead of the busy period heading into Cheltenham. We've got plenty of top quality action this week, and we've got Ascot, Haydock and Wincanton to look forward to. We've also even got the Saudi Cup in Riyadh this weekend, which I'll give a mention at the back end of the show. So plenty of decent action and a good panel to join me to preview the action. We've got Tom Park and Harry Wilson from the Racing Post. And of course, from Unibet, we have Mr. Ed Nixon. And we've got plenty of action, like I say, gents, and I do want to get straight into it. But before we do so, we do want to give a promo now for the Unibet Cheltenham preview alongside the Racing Post on the 4th of March, 7:30 on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've got a superb panel. David Jennings, Paul Keeley, Tom Siegel, Nicky Henderson. Who can forget Nicky Henderson from Unibet, who will be in the Racing Post studios? He's going to be brilliant. We'll have Nico de Boinville there. And Ed Nicholson, plenty of offers to be given on the evening for all the viewers. And we had really good viewership last year. So looking forward to that top-class panel.
Yeah, it'd be a fantastic panel. Plenty of winners last year as well, I seem to remember. So, yeah, we've already got Nicky booked in, which is kind of difficult these days because he's very busy around Cheltenham, but he's booked in and he's going to come into the Racing Post studios.
Yeah, and some huge chances for Nicky Henderson as well. So he'll have plenty to say, and there'll be a pre-record with Nico de Boinville. And I'm hearing that Unibet will be boosting all the panel's naps that evening. So look forward to seeing what those top pundits put up that's nice. So the 4th of March, 7:30 on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Let's get straight into the action then, gents. We're going to kick off with things at Ascot. The 1:15 there is a novices hurdle over 2.5 miles, a class 2 event. And Mandarui Boy is currently the favourite with Unibet at 7-4. We've then got Etna Bianco 11-4, Starzand 100-30, Catching Starvo's 11-2, Kildenham Prince is 10-1 and Kumandor is 33-1. I think I've pronounced all those right. It wasn't an easy market to read there. Harry Wilson, I'm going to come to you first here. There's plenty of, you know, top quality horses in here in their own right have a chance. You've got Mandarui Boy, who had a great start for a new yard. You've got Etna Bianco, who could potentially be giving a form boost to No Drama this end. And Starzan for the Hobbs team, who obviously they had a superb novice come out last week in Sober Glory. So what do you make of this one?
Yeah, it is a really tricky race, Sam, and Sober Glory, just where you touched on him, looked a class apart at Newbury, and I do think he has really solid claims in the Supreme, even though I think he's a ridiculous price at 16-1 anti-post. But anyway, I don't think Starzan is of that quality, and I'd be siding with Etna Bianco. I thought he had a really solid win round here over a couple of furlongs further on his penultimate start, and Joe Tizard isn't 1-2 at Wimbledon, so to say. Like he's gone for the Challo because he believes in this horse. All right, he was outclassed behind No Drama this end, but a sit and sprint isn't really going to suit him. I think going back to Ascot will really suit. He does have to carry a bit more weight than the others, but I'm quite confident he can give that away.
Okay, and a Bianco for Harry Wilson there. Tom Park, any strong opinion on this novices event to kick us off?
Yeah, I was quite surprised that he's not favourite, Etna Bianco, I'll be honest. I totally agree with what Harry said. I like Ascot form. I think it is a horses for courses track, and the fact that he won so impressively here, Tizard doesn't step these up into grade one company for the sake of it. So they clearly think a lot of him at home. I don't think this race is going to take an awful lot of winning. So I think if he runs to his official rating of 128, might be good enough to win this. I was surprised that he was not favourite, to be honest. I think he's probably the one that has that touch of class if there is going to be one in this field. He's obviously just come out of a grade one. I know he didn't necessarily run his race there, but I can forgive him for that. Back at Ascot, could well be his track. Yeah, I'm going to side with Etna Bianco as well.
Okay, 11-4 of Unibet currently, Etna Bianco. Ed Nixon, we couldn't kick the podcast off of a hat-trick, could we? We're not. That face is no.
No, afraid not. I quite strongly fancy one here in Starzand. Obviously not much form to go on being a novice hurdle. There are two grade two novice hurdles this weekend. One over this 2.5 and one over a little bit further up a Haydock, which we'll touch upon. But the top three or four in the market are much of a muchness on what we've seen so far. But Starzand, I think they've always thought he's had a bit of quality at the Hobbs Yard, and Johnson White's yard. He's won twice. He's won at Fosslass, and then he ran at Fosslass and got beaten by one of Skelton's, who looks quite useful, but he was giving him £7, and that was over 2 miles. This is much more his liking. He was taken out of the shallow hurdle because of the good ground. He wants it deeper. He's going to get it deeper. It's going to be soft ground. And I think the biggest price he's gone off in at any race is 7-4. He's obviously well thought of. I think he's got a future. And he's not far away from the others at the top end of the market in terms of ratings. Yet he's kind of double the price of the favourite. So I thought Starzan was an interesting bet. The stable, arguably out of all the stables in this race, probably in the best of form as well. So, yeah, I thought Starzan was worth a bet at around about 7-2.
Yeah. From the Hobbs and White stable there. None of the panel going with the favourite there, but I do agree the Hobbs and White stable and what Harry said there about the 16-1 anti-post about Sober Glory, I think is an absolutely ridiculous price for the Supreme Novices hurdle. Right, let's move on then, gents, to the 150, which is a four-runner field. It is the Reynoldstown Novices Chase. This looks like it could be a foregone conclusion, but we'll wait and see. But it's a Grade 2 event over 3 miles. Thomas Moore is the current favourite at around about 5-4 on. You've then got the Jukebox Kid at 85-40, Western Knight 7-1, and Crest of Fortune, who is 9-1. I have to say, Tom Park, I was looking at this race, and I'd say Thomas Moore probably sets the standard maybe with that second behind Kitzbühel at Christmas time. But you've got to remember here, the Jukebox Kid is also a course and distance winner. What do we make of this one?
Yeah, you know where I'm going here, because similar to what I've said, I'm quite happy to take the favourite on again here with the Jukebox Kid. Again, liked what he did at Ascot in handicap company. Teaches these novices can learn a fair bit from running in handicaps like that. I think there was 11 runners that day. He won impressively. He was well backed. Another that I'm quite happy to take the favourite on. He's got a bit to find on ratings and all known form. As you point out, good second of Grade 1 last time that has Thomas Moore. But yeah, at the prices, I'm willing to take him on. He's going to be odds on, you would expect. I don't think I'd want to be jumping on, to be honest, against a horse who's won so impressively here last time. I'll say it again. I like course form at Ascot, so I'm going to side with the Jukebox Kid.
Jukebox Kid then for Tom Park. And Harry Wilson, I think we're going to play a game of snap between you and Tom Park today, because I think you're in agreement.
Yeah, obviously these races have been run on Valentine's Day, and the Jukebox Kid is a horse that I have fallen for ever since his debut chase win at Carlisle. He just jumped fantastic that day, and you've always got to follow horses who jump fences so well. He won well at Ascot last time. Course and distance form is important, but I think the biggest factor here is the ground. Ben Pauling is very much convinced that the Jukebox Kid likes soft ground, and I'm not convinced Thomas Moore does. I do believe he is a good ground horse. And just for that reason, I fancy the Jukebox Kid.
Okay, Jukebox Kid. Ed Nicholson, looking at this race, I completely forgot it's Valentine's Day this Saturday. Who are you going to give some love to in the 150 at Ascot?
Just the four runners, but as the panel is suggesting, it's not just a one-horse race. But I am going to go for the favourite, Thomas Moore. This Reynoldstown Chase, I'm going to make you feel all very young again. I used to remember this race was on a Wednesday at Ascot, and we'd all troop down. I was with another bookmaker at the time, and us and all the traders would troop down on a Wednesday to watch this race, the likes of one man winning it. It was a really good race, and it still is a good race, probably not as good as it used to be, Grade 2 now. But Thomas Moore, 9 years young, it's quite old for a novice, isn't it? But he has performed quite well, didn't come into racing till late on, owned by the owners of Golden Ace, and I think they've got another race here. Thomas Moore looks like he's going to keep on improving as a chaser up to 3 miles. He runs as if 3 miles is his trip. I understand what Harry's saying about soft ground. He has won a lot of his races or run well on good, but he did come fifth in the Albert Bartlett on soft ground, which, you know, you have to stay at Cheltenham in that race. And when it's soft, you have to doubly stay. So I would have thought that he'd be okay on soft ground. And Tom likes horses for courses and course form. Well, this one's 2 from 2 at Ascot. So I just think that there's a lot of positives for Thomas Moore. But at the price, it is a prohibitive odd. So, yeah, I can understand the value seeking on Jukebox Kid, but I'm going to go for Thomas Moore.
Okay, Thomas Moore, Fred Nicholson there, and a big race being moved from a Wednesday to a Saturday. We probably don't need to get into that discussion right now, do we? Let's move on then to the 225, which is a really competitive handicap hurdle. Looking forward to getting stuck into this one here. Unibet currently have Listen to Your Heart as the 9-2 favourite. Active Authority 7-1 range for the informed Sam Thomas team. I don't think they've ever been out of form, the Sam Thomas team, 15-2. John Barber is 8-1, along with Lighting Up Our Days, also 8-1. Captain Teague, 17-2. Jurocon, 17-2. And Double Figures about the rest of the field. Ed Nicholson, usually have a pre-discussion about potential offers across the weekend, but I'm going to come to you in this first race here. I'm going to have a guess. Have we got an extra place?
We have got an extra place, Sam, but we've also got the option of a money back second or third in this race as well. It is a very competitive handicap on the soft ground with 15 runners, so you'd expect some nice offers. And it's a particularly difficult race, I must say. But there are plenty of horses here that are kind of, they've shown form, but in class three or in average class twos. I thought there were potentially, you know, quite a few horses at big odds that could run well. I like Range, wearing cheap pieces for the first time. Tipped him up when he won at Sandown last time. I'm a big fan of Duranson. I think he's going to win something big, probably over fences because he's jumping. He lacks fluency over hurdles, but I think he's a horse to look out for in the future. He's a big big horse, and I think he's definitely going to be better than he's shown so far. Looks like he needed his first run and didn't do particularly well last time. But the one I'm going to look for is not normally a kind of profile of a horse I fancy, but I'm going for Captain Teague. We talked about the Challow Hurdle previously. This horse won the Challow Hurdle back in, was it 23? Won the Challow Hurdle, and he's been lightly raced since. He came on his hurdling debut, won the Grade 2 Unibet Persian War. And I remember talking to Paul Nichols at the time, and they thought he was going to be a fantastic horse over hurdles, but ultimately over fences. He's tried that route, and now he's back over handicap, over the hurdles. He's rated 1-3-8. I mean, that's, if he's as good, he's obviously not going to be as good as they thought he was. He's obviously had problems. But I like the way he ran at Windsor, reverting to hurdles after a long layoff. Harry Skelton took him down that day. And with three to go and three furlongs, he was in fourth place. That was quite a good handicap hurdle. Lots of deep prize money go to war on it for Nicky Henderson and Nico de Boinford. I like the way he ran. Eventually, he was pulled up and out with the washing. But I'm going to give him a chance because I think on this kind of ground, soft ground at Ascot, it's worth chancing it around about 8-10-1 that he'll come back to form, given that Paul Nichols' horses are coming back into form as well. But obviously, they won the big race last weekend. So it's a bit of a, you know, left field selection, pulled up last time, and we haven't seen him that often. But I think Captain Teague has a potential to be ahead of the handicapper, and he'll certainly enjoy the ground.
Okay, there you go. Captain Teague, so far for Postcast listeners, they're probably hoping Harry Cobden has quite a fair day on Saturday. So yeah, Captain Teague for Ed Nixon. Harry Wilson to you here. I think you've got a strong fancy.
Yeah, these are the sort of handicaps that I really love, Sam, at the weekend. And Alistair Ralph is another trainer who's coming to form. And he's had like three winners in 3 seconds from his last 15 runners. Had a good weekend at Musselburgh a couple of weeks ago. And I really like his Lightning Up Our Days. He comes from a really strong form line behind Came From Nowhere, who bolted up at Ascot two weeks ago. And the second from that race has also won since. That was his first start in almost a year, and he's bound to come on for it. And he's also got plenty of form from last season that makes him look well handicapped. He's coming in off the bottom of the weights, soft ground. I think everything is in his favour, and I expect him to win.
Okay, Lighting Up Our Days then, a fair price, 8-1 currently with Unibet. Remember, you've got the money back of second or third and the extra places on offer there with Unibet. Do head to their website for the T's and C's there. Tom Park, for you then, last selection here in this competitive handicap hurdle.
Yeah, like the confidence of Harry, I'm in agreement with Ed though. Captain Teague's the one I want to be with. He's absolutely spot on. The way he went through the race at Windsor, you would have been surprised two out there, he was going to be pulled up, take it that way. And a horse who's been off the track for so long is perfectly entitled to have that sort of race. I'm absolutely more than happy to give him another chance. He was a real class act a couple of seasons ago. As Ed points out, Paul Nichols' horses are running really well. I think the fact that he's running in a race like this, although he could have probably found an easier assignment for him, but he's here with Harry Cobden on board. He's a graded performer from a few years ago. You know what I mean? If he falls back to that kind of form, he's going to make real light work of a mark of 138. And look, Pornicles, he's had a rough time of things for his standards over the past few seasons, but he really has started to find a little bit of form. And his horses are running really well. I'm more than happy to give Captain Teague a chance here. I think you're getting a fair price, 8-1, to do so. A couple of others that I've got on my radar for the race. Fiercely Proud. He just really was disappointing last time, which has just put me off a little bit. But he is a bit in and out. And he ran a very good race in the Great Wood the start before. Ascot is his track. So I think the Ben Pawlin team will have maybe put a line through his last run. I could see him, if he was to drift out to a slightly bigger price, I probably want bigger than the 10-1 on offer at the moment. If he was to drift a little bit on the day, I'd maybe have a little bit of a saver on him. He's a horse that is a bit of a cliff horse. I do tend to back him at Ascot. But yeah, he was really disappointing last time, so you have to be in a forgiving mood. The other one that is on my radar, not necessarily for this, but Katira is an interesting horse for future engagements. She's big price here. She's starting to come down the handicap, and we know what the Skelton team are like at targeting some big spring races. I just wonder whether she's going to be teed up. I would keep her in mind for your Cheltenham entry handicaps. She's going to have a big pot in her if she does come down a couple more pounds, because she's another that's class graded performer on a day. But yeah, I'm going to be backing Captain Teague, and hopefully he's going to put his Windsor run behind him. It was a good run, and yeah, hopefully get his career back on track.
Okay, a couple of votes for Captain Teague. And I love this. Plenty of agreement on this week's podcast. So Ed and Tom both with Captain Teague and lighting up our days for Harry Wilson. Some good prices there as well. Let's move on then, gents, to the 3 o'clock, which is the Swinley Handicap Chase over 3 miles. And this, again, really competitive. Joya Machen is 7-2. Montregard's 4-1. Gipcot, 11-2. Noctivalatus is 13-2. Your Darling, 17-2. 12-1 and bigger about the rest of the field here. Harry Wilson, I'm going to come back to you here. Surely, if you like the Jukebox Kid, you've got to have a little bit of a fancy for the JP runner, or am I wrong?
Yeah, you've got to say Montregard has a chance. Of course you do, but I just think the way that race was run with the Jukebox Kid suited where he was positioned. He's another one. I'm not particularly sure he wants it this soft. I do think he acts better on better ground, and that's the only reason I'm against him here. And to be fair, I was a bit surprised that Stan Shepherd wasn't riding him either, and he's on Noctivalatus. It might just be a case that Stan Shepherd doesn't want to do 10-2, but you'd have a feeling he'd be doing 10-2 if it was a winner. So that's another point against Montregard. Here I'm with Joy McCann. I can see why the money keeps coming from him. He was running a huge race in the Great Yorkshire Chase when he was allowed to front run in the tongue-tying cheek pieces that he's going to be wearing on Saturday. He was actually he's just flying along in front, winging each fence, and he made a mistake and he came down. I'm always willing to forgive a faller. He jumped soundly before that. 3 miles on soft ground should suit him perfectly, and I think he's a big player in a competitive race.
Okay. Joya Machen then, yeah, at the top of the market there. Plenty of support there. Ed Nixon, I don't know what you've got in the ways of offers for this race or whether you've spoken to the traders, but the money has piled in for this favourite here.
Yeah, 7-2 was big as 10-1. There or thereabouts. So, yeah, the money has piled in for the downscale and horse. Always worth a second look when that happens. But it is a competitive race. We're going to go Super Boost as our offer on the race. And, you know, there are 11 runners and nearly every one of them has a chance on one piece of form or another. The ground obviously is important. One or two old boys here taking on the youngsters. Noctivalatus won the Unibet Veterans Chase Final at Sandown last time. I spoke to the owners. They were delighted. And it's a horse that's been around for a while, but he keeps his form well. The beginning of the season, he either won or he fell. You may remember him. He kept on doing sort of things that you wouldn't expect good horses to do, like run through wings and fall when 20 lengths clear. But he's now kind of calmed down a bit, and he is a decent performer. 11 here, though, and, you know, his wins may be behind him. I liked Montregard, the form at Ascot. once again is there to see. He's come second and won at Ascot, as we mentioned just a moment ago. I spoke to Tom Lacey about him, actually after the last time at Ascot, and they were delighted with his run, although he didn't win. He's a horse that comes on and off the bridle, but he jumps so well. It's quite a big horse. If you go back to his replays, you'll see he quite often jumps a fence half a length behind a horse and finishes upsides it, because he jumps. He doesn't look brilliant jumping, but he has a way of getting from A to B quite quickly. But he does seem to be a horse that needs to be chased along. So I'm not expecting an easy ride, not just for Jonathan Burke, but for me watching in my chair. But I think he's going to win. So Montegard is my selection at around about 7-2, 4-1.
Okay, JP's Montegard for Ed Nixon. Then Tom Burgos mentioned about Harry Cobden having a potentially good day. I actually thought that we might get a little bit of a run out of three under through five here, who loves the course, should appreciate the ground. I'd have him a little bit short, but again, he might have bigger assignments in hand in the future. But what did you make of this?
Yeah, I could see three under through five running well. He's one that you always think there's a target in mind, and he tends to run well when that race is. Could be today, runs well at Ascot. It could be a bit further down the line. I think he's ran in the Grand National before, hasn't he? Whether his entry is his big plan, he probably wouldn't want to come down the weights anymore anyway. 147 is going to be, you probably do well to get in it these days with that sort of map, probably maybe just. Montregard, I obviously like the Jukebox Kid. I kind of agree with what Ed's saying, but for that reason, I'm not going to back him. I think he seems to get a little bit lazy in his races. And the horse that I like is Gypcot. And I think the penny seemed to drop at Leicester last time, where he kind of went hard from the front. And I have a feeling he might just get a lot of this field at it. And if you're Montregard, I just worry whether you're going to be able to keep up. I could see Gypcot. As I said, the penny dropped last time. I could just see him getting into a nice rhythm up front. He seems to have been around for a long time. He's actually only 7-year-old. Ran in Lossy Mouth's Triumph Hurdle, I believe. So he switched trainers as well through his career. He's with the John O'Neill team now. And they've had an up and down season, but they're starting to find a little bit of form. As I said, it's just something telling me he's always been a bit better than his mark. He went off 14-1 for the Coral Cup at Cheltenham in the spring, and didn't run the best of races. But when the fancy, he's obviously doing something at home to kind of justify him running in these races. And I just think the penny dropped at Leicester last time. He's back over fences now. And yeah, I think he's worth a chance. Maybe at getting loose up front. I think he'll have one of these handicaps in him where the field will kind of let him get away. There will be a lot of pace here, so it could also suit some hold-up horses. But yeah, there's something telling me that he's a bit better than his mark of 133, and I'm happy to take a chance on Gypcot. I've been waiting to back him in these kind of races. So yeah, this is going to be his day, I hope, for the John O'Neill team.
There you go then. Joy Machen for Harry Wilson, Montregard, Fred Nixon, Gypcot for Tom Park. We've covered the top of the market really well there, gents. Well done there. Right, let's move on to the final race that we're going to be looking at Ascot, which is the 3:35. It is the star attraction. It is the Ascot Chase Grade 1 contest over 2 mile, 5 furlongs. And currently with Unibet, the star attraction in John Bonn is the 2-1 on favourite. Pick Dore, he is 9-4. Then we've got a bit of a gap towards the rest. Edwardstone 10s, Blow Your Wad 40s, Classic Maestro 100-1, and Heltonham at 125-1. Tom Park, to you first. Does John Bonn just go and win this, or is Pick Dore, what I know as a flat track bully, going to put it up to the horse?
Yeah, likes Ascot, doesn't he, Pick Dore? So does John Bonn. I don't think I'll be having a bet in this race. I think John Bond's class will tell and he will probably win. I've had some great success backing Pick Dore in this race over the past couple of seasons. So I wouldn't rule him out, but he's 11 now. He's looked like his age is catching up on him in his past couple of starts, I think. And John Bond, he's probably not come up against a horse that kind of calibre of John Bond. It's just remarkable that this horse has still not finished outside the top two. I think the step up in trip will really suit John Bond as well. He's been crying out for this his whole career. His best, I think it's actually his best career RPR was in the 2.5 miler at Aintree in the spring. So he went back to 2 mile. It obviously hasn't worked out. This is the season where they've definitely had to step him up in trip. He probably got away with it last time, given that this Alaska went so hard. I don't think we'll see him over 2 miles again. And yeah, I think this looks a good opportunity for John Bond. It's going to have a big shake-up potentially for the Cheltenham Festival. It might determine where they go with Factor File this. If John Bond was to kind of run poorly, does that mean that the JP team will want one in the Ryanair? They've obviously got Spillane's Tower, maybe Iron Maximus in the Gold Cup. Does that have a factor? I'll be watching this race with interest for that reason. And John Bond himself might well be a big player in the Ryanair. So yeah, I will not have a bet in this. I think John Bond will win, but I'm not confident enough. I don't need to be betting at short odds.
Okay, I'm going to ask that question about where he might run next at the end of this previous race. I won't do that now. Ed Nixon, you've probably been in contact with Nicky, or Nicky's going to have his blog anyway, giving us an update on this horse. What do you reckon? Is he just going to go and win this?
He should do, shouldn't he? He loves Ascot. He's in good form. I tipped him up on the podcast when he won last time against Ilete Tom, and that was a much more difficult race to win. He was 6-1 that day. I just think he wins, yeah. But it is interesting where he's going to go next. Yeah. I'm interested when we get to that, what the panel thinks. But yeah, I don't think the other runners can beat him. So yeah, John Bond over the furthest he's ever been, and on same as Tom. I wish we'd seen him over 3 miles at his Bond, but he kept on winning all these great races over two. So why step him up? So they've done nothing wrong, but I think he would have been magnificent over three at Christmas time in the Kempton King George. That would have been my perfect race for him, but. He still had a fantastic career. I remember seeing him very, very early on at Nicky Henderson's stables, and he was galloping with all the Cheltenham horses before he'd even run as a bumper. And Nicky, whose eyesight is going, he just said, "That's a very good horse," and he hadn't even run. So he obviously knew he had an absolute star on his hands, and he's proved probably one of the best JP McManus horses that Henderson's ever had.
Absolutely agree with that. Completely agree. And Harry Wilson, like Tom said, they're 1-2, 2-1-1, 1-2, 2-1-1. It's not a sound check. It's John Bond's form. He's just superb, so consistent. I mean, this is, you know, an easier assignment, like we say, than the one against Ilete Tom, and he's a top-class horse. Is he just going to show his class against a horse like Pic Dory?
Yeah, it's definitely stamina that won the day in the Clarence House as well. And he definitely needs this sort of trip. This day, he's well suited by Ascot. He's well suited by right-handed full stop. Like his brilliant form at Sandown as well. Yeah, he's just going to win this.
Okay, there you go. Simple as that. Right then, gents, the producers are ready to this up, but I'm going to do an option here. Where will John Bond run after this race? Will he run in the Ryanair? Will he run in the Champion Chase? Or will he skip Cheltenham and head straight to Aintree? Three answers. Doesn't need to be. I don't need a long answer. I just need that as an answer. Tom Parch, you first. Where?
Ryanair, and he's got a good chance of winning as well.
Okay. Ed Nicholson.
I really don't know. I haven't spoken to anyone in the stable, but I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up in the Queen Mother. He's 12 for the Queen Mother. He's 4 for the Ryanair, so the market doesn't think so. But okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to the 2 mile.
Champion Chase for Ed Nicholson then, and Harry Wilson, where?
I can't win at Cheltenham. I'd go straight to Aintree.
Okay. I'm in agreement with Harry Wilson there. I think the horse will go straight to Aintree, but we will wait and see after Saturday. Right, before we get into the action at Haydock, another special announcement. We've got our Racing Post Unfiltered series starting on the YouTube channel, 6 p.m. this Saturday. This is running all the way up until Aintree. A different episode every Saturday. You'll see nice little previews leading up to the week, but it's a behind the scenes of Lambourne. This week we're going behind the scenes of the Farrier, how they get the horseshoes ready for the horses ahead of big meetings. It's a really beautiful piece, and there'll be trailers leading up to it on Friday evening, so do look forward to that. But honestly, it's a really beautiful series coming up, so you can see bits on screen as I was talking then, but worth tuning in. That'll be 6 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel on Valentine's Day. So there you go. Right, let's get into Haydock then. We start off with the 205, which is the Rendlesham Hurdle, a grade two event here. And the market here has really shocked me that we see Cabral de Matan at the top of the market, 8-15, Friendship 11-2, Henri the Second 15-2, Beauport 10-1, Ludors 12-1, and La Vida Alvida is 22-1. The reason I'm a little bit shocked is that we see the favourite here in Cabral de Matan. I think the big story was that this horse was potentially going to go to the National Spirit at Fontwell next Sunday and then head to Aintree. Harry Wilson, is this maybe a sign that maybe they're reconsidering things and leaving the option open of a Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah, I think Dan Skelton is usually a man with a plan. I'm a bit surprised that he's changed his mind. Mm. But I suppose if you're going to find out, if he stays, you might as well find out before you go to Cheltenham. So it's quite a soft grade two, I suppose, he's looking at as well. Like, there's, I don't think there's any graded horse in there, really. To be honest, it's quite a weak race. But I don't know, at 1-2, he makes absolutely no interest whatsoever. He's never done the trip. Best two performances have been on better ground. I don't really know why he's so short when he's got a worse top speed figure than Friendship, and he's only £1 ahead of him on adjusted RPRs when you account for weight. I'd be with Friendship here. I don't think he had anything go his way in the Lanzarote. Ground was too quick. I'm not convinced he likes going right-handed either. I know he's won at Taunton, but that was his worst RPR as a novice. He's much better going left-handed. I thought he looked a cut above handicaps when he won at Newbury the start before. As we touched on before, Hobbs and Johnson White, they're flying at the minute, and I think he could cause a shock to the favourite.
Okay, potential shock there for Cabral de Matan to be beaten by Friendship. Yeah, Tom Park, it is interesting. I mean, obviously, the National Spirit is so close to Cheltenham, so that's why I kind of reconsider the fact that they might consider Cheltenham by going here. They give the horse enough time. What did you make of this?
Yeah, I think it looks like he's on trial for Cheltenham. I agree with Harry. He looks very short to me, particularly for a horse who's trying this trip for the first time. He never really struck me as, when I've seen him in his previous runs, as a staying hurdler. He looks the kind of type that looks like he's got a bit more speed than that, to be perfectly honest. I just wonder whether he's probably maybe not quick enough for 2 miles. He's one of them that I think he is a 2.5 miler. This will take some getting on this ground. I just think he's very, very, very short. Class might tell in the end, but I agree with Harry. I'm happy to take him on, probably with Friendship. He's obviously looked really progressive on his last, if you take the Lanzarote out, he's really progressive. And as Harry said, you can forgive him that run. And if he returns that progression, he hasn't got a lot to find at the weight. The one, a massive price that is screaming out to me, and if I decide to have a bet in this race, it probably will be small stakes on that, is Ludor for the Tom Simmons team. He was beaten by Friendship, but not far on his last start. And that was off level weight. He's got 3 lengths to find on Friendship. I think he'll probably like the conditions. I just think he's just quietly there. If the favourite doesn't run to form, if he doesn't stay, this race is wide open. And Ludor really doesn't have that much to find, and he can get 16-1 at the moment. I'm probably going to take a chance on Ludor here, but I certainly wouldn't be backing the favourite. It'll either be a no bet or a small stakes on one of the outsiders. But
Both taking on Cabral de Matan, and I completely agree with you, Parkin. Maybe Ed will agree as well that this horse might be just the perfect horse for 2.5 miles, and the Aintree Hurdle does just seem like it could be the perfect race. But you never know; it could be the stayers' hurdle after this. What do we make of it, Ed?
I'm agree with the panellists. I think Cabral de Matan is definitely worth taking on over this trip at the price. I don't think any kind of tipster would suggest backing it, to be honest, given that he's got no form over this distance. And there are other horses in the race that have. And, you know, as Harry kind of pointed out, Friendship is very close to him on some ratings and some races. I don't... Friendship and Henry II have won for me on the podcast before, so they're old friends, but I'm going to discard them like an old boot. I think Friendship has had lots of runs recently, and that seventh at Lanzarote, I mean, to me, spoke of a horse that might be needing a rest. Maybe I'm wrong. And also, he's up to 3 miles for the first time, I think, isn't he? So he travels like a good horse. And when he won at Newbury, I was really impressed by the way he travelled and quickened. But he is taking on, you know, Grady Company for the first time as well. Henry II just is a mudlark, and I don't think he'll win. Another mudlark that I think will win is Beauport. Big price. Came second in this race last year. He'll go from the front, and he's a horse that does go particularly well after a break. So I know he's 56 days since he ran. He's won 204 days off the track, 63 days off the track, 217 days off the track. I think it was a late decision to come into this race. I just think the race might be run to suit. He's up against a couple of horses that are 2.5 milers going up to 3 miles. They won't be anywhere near him. I think he'll go off from the front. And the horse that finished 12th in last year's Grand National on a track that he likes and with going that he'll certainly appreciate is a big, big price. If you get double figure odds, I think it's well worth an each way bet. So Beauport will be my selection, and it is a super boost race with the Unibet.
Okay, super race.
It's worth pointing out, though, that Ed makes a good point there. This will take some getting. Like Cabral Dumoutin, you would think is going to have to be held up to try and get this trip. And if Beauport or some of the others go quite hard up front, they're not going to make it easy for him. He's got a big target on his back being the 1-2 favourite. And the way you're going to get him beat is with stamina, you would think. Yeah. Maybe he's right. But Beauport's classy horse.
So on handicap ratings, I know it's not a handicap, but he's almost the best horse in the race as it is. Yeah. I think he's 1-5-3 over the fences and over hurdles.
Well, we'll just wait and see. But what I love the fact is all three of you are taking on the favourite here, which is absolutely fascinating, you know, especially the fact that we've got a 15-8 on favourite. So, yeah, fascinating race. Really looking forward to that. But the gents all against the Skelton Fav. Let's move on then to the next race, which is the 240 there at Haydock. This is a novices hurdle, a grade two event over 3 miles. So could be another long testing grueling trip. And Reckless Spending is topping the market 130. Dalston Lads in there at 7-2. Uber Tubers 9-2. Lon Chaney 5-1. Whiskey Yankee 7-1. Legendary Luke 15-2. And bigger the rest of the field, including Tashkan in here for the Brian Ellison team. Gets you excited for the flat, doesn't it, Tom Park? Not long till the Lincoln. Right, let's go to you first then, Parky. Who do you like in this?
The one that I have my eye on, and I'm not, he's a bit unexposed. It's not really a betting race for me, but I'm interested in Whiskey Yankee, and we might get a good steer on his form when we see how Starzand runs. Yeah, he was quite impressive at Ascot last time, a big price. You mentioned the Sam Thomas team, they don't never seem to be out for. It's dead right. Like, he's a hell of a trainer. And yeah, there was just, when horses win at big prices like that, particularly for a trainer like Sam Thomas, just wonder if he's caught him by surprise. I'd probably want to see a bit of money, which is why I'm not going to commit totally. This will be a bit of a standing watching race, I think. But yeah, he's run twice, perfectly good run behind Foss last behind Starzand. If it's going to turn into a, he was to win Ascot, maybe he's worth a related double in that regard. I'm going to probably side with him as a selection, whether I have a bet, I'm not sure. It's quite a hard race to dissect when we know so little. But yeah, he just impressed me a little bit, Ascot, the way he won for a 14-1 shot.
Okay, fine. No worries with that. Sorry, I was smiling through that. My producers just told me off for mentioning the Lincoln so early in March. So apologies for that. Harry Wilson, who do you like in this novice hurdle?
Yeah, I think I side with Legendary Luke here. He's 2-2 over hurdles, and I thought he's actually shaped a bit better than his results have suggested. Like, he hasn't actually won by that far, but he's been winning over 2-mile 4 in races that have developed into sprints, and they're just not going to suit him whatsoever. So he's done remarkably well to win them. He's from the family of Gold Cup winner Native River. He should stay very comfortably. Jamie Snowden's kept him in the Albert Bartlett as well. I expect he's an improver who I think is the wrong price in this race.
Okay, legendary, and yeah, for the Jamieson team around 15-2. Farry Wilson and Ed Nixon finished off in this novice's hurdle.
Yeah, it's normally a good race. Lisnagar Oscar won this, and a few other good sorts have won. I'm in agreement. I thought I found one, but canny old Harry's got it as well. I fancy Legendary Luke. I mean, you don't know how good Legendary Luke's going to be, and already he's a stone less than, almost stone less than what Reckless Spending has shown on the track. But they're all novices, and as Harry said, this is out of a sister to Native River. So, you know, if any of the family traits come through to him, he'll like the soft ground and he'll like the 3 miles and half a furlong. I too was quite impressed by him at Fonwell. I thought he battled back well. He ran green, and the fact that Jamie Snowden's kind of decided to go here, I think, tells you a story. He's very good at placing his horses, especially his younger horses. I thought Legendary Luke was a fair price, but you are guessing, because he's going to have to. Reckless Spending is already rated 134, and I have no doubt that Legendary Luke will be better than that over fences, and he will be a chaser. But it's just whether he's got the kind of raw power to win this sort of race with relatively lack of experience over hurdles on his back. Reckless Spending, I did look at it, and I was impressed by the way he won at Kempton, but he jumped every hurdle to the right, which can't be a good thing going around Haydock. So I was a little bit worried about that. I thought Legendary Luke was a fair price at around about 7 or 8 to 1. Well worth chancing, I thought. Super boost on this race as well.
Got plenty of offers from Unibet this weekend. But yeah, Legendary Luke, yeah, super boost there. I actually really like one. I think Dalston Lad's a really nice type. I'll touch on it at the end of the show. But I think Skelton, I know he's coming here for Cabrador Matan, but I think he might be here for this horse. Course and distance winner. I think the horse will really appreciate the ground. And yeah, I'm a real big fan of Dalston Lad, who's two on the bounce now. So yeah, we'll just wait and see what happens on Saturday. Now, a race that this will be a proper grueling test is the 3:15 at Haydock, which is the Grand National Trial Handicap Chase over 3.5 miles. And the market here is competitive enough, with Deafening Silence as the 3-1 favourite of Unibet. Myertown is currently 100-30. Richmond Lake 7-1. Rivers Corner 15-2. 8-1 about Grand Jess. Gipmakers 10-1. Mombeg Genius and Hulakea 12-1. 14s. Bar these. Skelton again on the favourite in this race here. And Myertown, Harry Wilson, I just find a really fascinating horse. This horse was being talked up, obviously, for a potential Gold Cup tilt. Do you think that's now kind of out the equation for a horse like this? Or do you think this horse still has that kind of ability to compete in a race like that?
Yeah, he needed to win the Peter Marsh, really. Yeah. I know he made a bad mistake. Any horse can make a mistake, but the fact that he fell in his previous start and then made a bad mistake last time, yeah, I wouldn't be going near him for a Gold Cup. I wouldn't be going near him for this handicap either. The BHA scared me this morning because they eliminated my horse and then reinstated him.
Yes.
Which I couldn't believe.
Paul Keely alerted us to that, I think, in our work group chat, that there was a couple of horses, wasn't there?
Yeah, Grand Albert and the O King, but they've been rightly reinstated, and I'm glad, because I think Grand Albert has got a massive chance at the prices, and I was really pleased to see Sean Byam booked. That's not what I was expecting. This horse, he had really good form. He started really well over fences last season. He came third behind Caldwell Potter, who obviously went on to win a Grade One, and then he battered them at Weatherby, won by like 20-odd lengths. He made a really bad mistake on his final start last season, and I think he's just had his confidence knocked. His two starts this season have just been about getting his confidence back. He's been really quietly ridden, just been trying to get him jumping at the back of the field. And I noted him doing all his best work at the finish last time, and that was 3-mile 1 over at Haydock in soft ground, when he was fit with the cheap pieces. This is a horse from the family of Suni Bay, who won this back in 1997 and obviously came second in the Grand National. So there's plenty of stamina in the family. When we did a stable tour back with Donald McCain in October, he noted this horse as being one for long distance races in the mud at Haydock. Well, if that's the plan, then this is the race for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. God, yeah, really solid there, and referencing the stable tours as well. I love that from you, Harry. As mentioned, Tom Part, with regards to Myertown, it wasn't the most angelic of jumping in the final stages of the Peter Marsh. Who did you like in this?
Yeah, I'm a big, big Myertown fan, but you are taking a chance. Is jumping, it's a problem, I think. When they do them back to back like that, like he was going on so nicely in the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury the start before, and I mean Panic Attack won that well. It's hard to say he fell so far out, but like this is a horse who I was in the camp that could possibly develop into a Gold Cup horse this year. It's been a little bit disappointing how he's gone. You would think maybe repeating the Ultimate and the Grand National would be his plan. He's going to have to win this. And that makes me a little bit more confident to side with him. He's just a horse that I really like, so I don't really want to get off him. My advice for anyone listening to this would be listen to Harry in this race, because he's made a really good case for a big price. My case back in my town is simply my heart. I really want him to run well. And, you know, as we're racing fans at the end of the day, and sometimes your heart rules over your head. And I do get that sneaky feeling that my heart is ruling over my head. But there's just something about the way that he won at Cheltenham. I really want him to progress into that horse that I thought would be perfect for a Grand National. But he's going to have to win this, because he won't get in off 142, I wouldn't have thought.
No, probably wouldn't, no. Okay, yeah, stick with your heart then. Myer Town for Tom Part. And Ed Nicholson for you, finished off at Haydock.
Yeah, difficult race. We're going industry top price on every horse from 9 o'clock on Saturday, I think it is. And it is a tricky race. You can forgive a horse for falling, you can forgive a horse for one mistake, but my time's got a whole career in his MOT of causing problems to the jockey and not having a good ride round, blemish-free ride round. I don't think I may have even got the right horse in the stable, listening to Harry, let alone the race, but I'm going for Richmond Lake. I think he came second. Did he come second in this race? He's definitely got a very good record at Haydock. He's run four times at the course, and he's won, I think, once, and he's never been out of the first three. He came second in the Peter Marsh, didn't he? And that was a good run. Brian Hughes is just the type of jockey I'd want on him. Slowly, slowly, round the inside and over the last, away he goes. Difficult race, though. It will be 5 or 6 to 1 or bigger. It's a great race to watch. I've always loved watching this race. I used to go up there every year because we sponsored a race that was on the card. And the team up there really love it. And obviously the Grand National weights come out on Tuesday.
Yep.
So it's kind of Grand National weekend. Forget Valentine's Day. We start thinking about the Grand National, not about the Lincoln, Sam. We start thinking about the Grand National. So, yeah, Richmond Lake, I think he's got a decent chance. But now I'm really worried he's going to come not even the first from Donald McCain's stable, because that's quite an interesting, very interesting selection from Harry with Grand Albert. But I'll stick with Richmond Lake.
Okay, Richmond Lake then. Yeah, the McCain yard essentially to have a good race here. Richmond Lake, Fred Nixon, Grand Albert for Harry Wilson. Stick with a heart on Valentine's Day in Myer Town for Tom Part. Right, guys, we keep on going. We've got one more race to cover, which is from Wincanton. It's not a big field, but it is the Kingwell Hurdle Grade 2 contest, just shy of 2 miles, the 135 there. And Alexi's currently topping the market, 13-8 on with Unibet. Rubo's 15-8, Secret Squirrel 7-1, and Interlotto is 40-1. Alexi, I think, really should go and win this, especially considering we're on heavy conditions here. This horse won the Unibet Greatwood in really, really good style. And Tom Park, you might disagree here, but I think if it came up heavy or really soft at Cheltenham, the Unibet Champion Hurdle, I wouldn't rule this out. This horse out running a big race in what could be an open field. What do we make of Alexi?
Does he want it heavy?
I'm not
sure he does.
Like, I think so.
When he ran at Cheltenham in the Greatwood, connections in the build-up to the race,
they were.
We're talking about pulling him out.
They were, but how
and
good was it?
That race, that ground, he absolutely belted down, obviously, at Cheltenham that weekend. We were there. But the ground on Sunday really dried out quite quick. It was tacky ground rather than a real slog fest. And it caught a few out, because I was backing a few soft ground horses on that Sunday, and the ground was quickening all the time. I'm not sure he really does want it that heavy. And yeah, I'm going to take him on here. I'm not sure Rubal wants it heavy either. I'm going to take a chance on the Secret Squirrel. Okay. Long layoff has fallen twice in three starts. There's a lot of reasons not to pick him here. Always liked him though. I think he's threatened to win. Them two falls that he had last year, he was going to run big races in both. So he's better than his mark of 133. He would win a handicap for sure off that mark if they get a few runs into him and get him back on track. You're taking a big chance, but look, it's a four-runner race. I'm not sure that Alexi does really want it like this. As I said, they were talking about pulling him out at Cheltenham. He wasn't potentially going to run. That's my stance on it. Rubord, likeable horse, does run his race, likes around Wincanton, but I think he's probably better on. I think he'd probably want it a bit quicker. Secret Squirrel is crying out to me. He's got a hell of a lot to find on ratings, but I just think he's better than 133. Call me mad, but I'm going for the Secret Squirrel.
No, I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it. It is interesting because I was there at Cheltenham that day as well and listening to Connections before the race. And I know RPR suggests that the run third last time at Ascot for Alexi was better, but I thought that performance at Cheltenham was absolutely superb on the ground. And I mean, you know,
it might have been
really tacky and that might have just helped, but you know, we're going to find out this weekend. They look like they're going to run the horse, and if it is going to come up heavy and they run the horse, then maybe they've kind of reconsidered and thought, you know, actually this horse might not mind this kind of ground. So we'll just wait and see how he performs on Saturday. Ed Nixon, what did you make of this?
I just think it's a really disappointing turnout for what traditionally used to be a fantastic champion hurdle trial. Bueller, Lanzarotti, Crebensis, Orlois, Alderbrook, they've all run here. And obviously last year, Golden Ace won this race before going on to win the Unibet champion hurdle. And, you know, Alexi is 25-1 for the champion hurdle. I can't see him winning it. Arguably, it was his best race last time, although he got beaten given where he is in the ratings. But, you know, when he did win the Unibet Greatwood, it was eye-catching and it was amazing. But he was rated, 125, was he? I mean, you know, quite a lot of horses that were a stone ahead of the handicap would have won it like that. Rubard, I think, wants better ground. Did win, we checked earlier on, didn't we, Sam? He has won the last three elite hurdles at Wincanton. I'm going to go for Secret Squirrel as well. I think that it's worth taking a chance at the odds. The other two, and these four-runner races, three-runner races at these sort of quick tracks like Wincanton, they invariably do throw up a strange result because the jockeys know that they're on, you know, the worst horse. So they you know, Golden Ace, other horses, you can remember them, the way they quickened it up, they slowed it down, they quickened it up. So sometimes the best horse doesn't win, and Secret Squirrel is nowhere near being the best horse in the race on official BHA ratings, and obviously it's not a handicap, this. But Hughie Morrison does exceptionally well with the horses that he kind of runs dual purpose, and he's had a horse that kept on being third, fourth, fifth in the Unibet Champion Hurdle not long ago, and won the Grade One Fighting Fifth dead heated with Epatant that year. He does get his fair share of hurdlers, and I heard a whisper this horse was going to run in the Constitution Hill race at Southwell. So it's interesting that they've gone here. So, yeah, I'm going to take a big chance and be with my man Tom and go for Secret Squirrel.
Okay, another vote for Secret Squirrel. Yeah, and God, you mentioned that race next week. I'm sure we'll be touching on that on the podcast ahead of Friday Night Live with Constitution Hill Run. I think I might fancy a chance in that race with the 40 grand on offer. Harry Wilson, you're the last one to give a selection. I don't think you had a strong selection. You told us a lovely story about a Secret Squirrel. But, I mean, are you with the guys that Secret Squirrel might be the one, if not to win it, to finish second?
Yeah, it's just a really poor race. I agree with Tom that the ground on Sunday at Cheltenham was more like good to soft. Like, it was nowhere near as soft as they were talking. Like, all the times would suggest it's sort of good to soft, proper good to soft ground. But I think they just got lucky. They took a chance on ground that they didn't think they were going to like, and they actually got ground that he does like, which he's not going to get on Saturday. Rubo got absolutely smashed to bits in this race a couple of years ago on heavy ground. He wants it better as well. So you're looking at the two outsiders, and I might go one step further and say Interlotto isn't a 66-1 shot. But he's only had four starts over hurdles or something like that, and two of them came on heavy and he won them both. But if conditions are properly heavy, this horse isn't without a chance. Robbie David, yeah, he's an upcoming jockey. If he just like plays it safe, sits at the back, if the two horses collapse in front of him, I wouldn't suggest that he couldn't win it either. So I'd probably say the safe bet is Alexi Reverse Forecast with Secret Squirrel and Interlotto. That's probably the way that I'd play this race, but I'd be tempted to have a bit of a saver on Secret Squirrel and Interlotto at massive price.
Yeah, I've just reconsidered how I'm going to play this race now. I think I'm going to have a reverse forecast on Secret Squirrel and Interlotto, I think, after the way you guys are talking. Ignore the top of the market. So there we go. Right, gents, that was brilliant, previewing all the ITV action there. And don't forget, there's also action, as I mentioned, we talk about the flat a little bit. There is action in Riyadh over the weekend as well. Actually, some really good top-class action, including the Saudi Cup at 5:40 UK time. In Riyadh. We're going to get some other selections from the guys and our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger. With 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Loads of action previewed from the guys. Appreciate them for that. But we have got other action and our best bets to come. And Ed Nicholson, the only one with an extra selection this week. And you'll be there at Chepstow tomorrow. Who have we got?
Well, it's just a horse to look out for in the opening contest, a novice hurdle. Bossman Jack from the Skelton team. The New Lion ran here as a novice for the Skelton team. And Bossman Jack looks an interesting contender for spring targets. He beat the horse we talked about earlier today, actually, Starzand at Foss Lass. Still needs to improve to be anywhere near in contention for those spring races. But I think he might do. And it'd be really worth looking at how he takes the hurdles again tomorrow. At Chepstow, he will be favourite to win, but it's just to bring viewers' attention to a horse that could be potentially very useful.
There you go. One to keep an eye on then this weekend, and that's tomorrow at Chepstow. Right, let's get the best bets then, gents, from all of us. Who are we going to go with first? Harry Wilson, who's your best bet this weekend?
My best bet is going to be in the 225 at Ascot, and that's Lightning Up Our Days. I think he's got a cracking chance on form. Should step forward from his last run. Will be suited by conditions. Everything's in his favour.
Perfect. Nice. There we go. Harry Wilson's there. Tom Parks.
Yeah, 3 o'clock Ascot. I think the time has come for Gipcock to finally win one of these big pots. Liked what he did at Leicester last time. Won very easily from the front. Think he might get a nice rhythm up towards the lead. Think he'll get a lot of them in behind at it early. And yeah, Gipcock is going to land a pot in the 3 o'clock at Ascot.
Okay, Gipcock for Tom Park. I'm going to go to the 2:40 at Haydock, the prestige novices hurdle. I think Dalston Ladd, like I mentioned earlier, I think he's a really nice type. 2 on the spin. Skelton's up there at Haydock. He's a course and distance winner. Should like the ground. I don't think he'll be far away at all. And Ed Nixon finishes off, please.
Yeah, given it's Valentine's Day on Saturday, roses are red. Violets are blue. I think Starzand will win by a length or two in the 1:15 at Ascot.
I'm glad as I'm reacting that the naps are on screen, Ed, to be totally honest. They'll be on the screen now. There you go. Our naps there. They are all available boost on the Unibet website. Do head over to the Unibet website to get all of those. Dalston Ladd, the 2:40 at Haydock. 3 o'clock at Ascot. We've got Gipcock. Lighting up our days in the 2:25 at Ascot. And 1:15 at Ascot, we have Starzand with an awful Valentine's Day poem from Ed Nicholson. So there we go. Right. Thanks so much, gents, for everything this week. As reminded, we have got the Unibet and Racing Post Cheltenham preview, 4th of March, 7:30 on the YouTube channel. We've also got the Racing Postcast Top 5 Bets video coming soon, the Sunday before Cheltenham. That's also a really, really popular video. Looking forward to that. And Racing Post Unfiltered this Saturday, 6 p.m. Do check that out on the YouTube channel and on our social platforms. I will quickly go for 20 seconds each. It is Valentine's weekend. Tom Park, what are we up to?
Well, I've got a newborn now. So, be a lot of nappy changing and a lot of sleepless nights. So, who says romance is dead, eh?
There you go. Harry Wilson, what are we doing? Are we in? We out?
We're out, but with the boys, unfortunately. still single these days. So, me and my single mates mingling.
Nothing wrong with that, Harry. Nothing wrong with that. And Ed Nicholson, racing or are we out as well?
I think it'll be racing, but might be out later on.
Yeah, there you go. We all share our love with racing. That's just the agreed opinion there. So, yeah, big thanks, guys. Really fun today. Enjoyed that preview and the action on ITV. James Stevens will be back in the seat next week. Like I say, not long till Cheltenham. Looking forward to getting really stuck in some of the big races very soon. But until then, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And do remember to gamble responsibly.